of Psalm chapter 34, if you will. I'm in the middle of series right now. I'm just trying to pray and see what direction God wants me to go in. We went through about a month of preaching on a series of messages. And this time of the year, between now and the first of the year, we talk a lot about Thanksgiving. We talk a lot about Christmas. November, we talk a lot about those type of topics. And then December, Christmas messages. So I did get to thinking to myself about tonight's message and about being thankful. And when I was studying, this is what I believe the Lord wanted me to preach on tonight. And I want to just start, if you will, in the book of Psalm, chapter number 34. And I just want to simply talk about tonight the goodness of God. And that is a subject that we're all familiar with. But yeah, again, I want to talk about that this evening. 34, Psalm, verse 1. I will bless the Lord sometimes. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast. I shall brag on the Lord. My boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto me, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Verse 6, David saying, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Verse 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Stretch your hand this way and pray for me tonight. Our Father, we come before you tonight. We come before you, Father God, in the weaknesses of my flesh, recognizing, God, without you that we cannot do anything at all. But God, you said that all things are possible to them that believe. And God, we pray this evening as we open up your word tonight, God, that God, that your Holy Spirit go before me. Father, without you, we cannot do anything at all. Because Father, you said in your word that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit. And God, just like the Holy Ghost anointed Jesus, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray, God, for that same anointing, God, to touch us tonight. Let it radiate through this place tonight. And Lord, let our conversations tonight be as pleasing unto you, Lord. Those things that bring glory and honor and praise to your name. And Father, we're going to be careful to give you praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. As I began to study for this message, there was a thought that came to my mind. The thought that came to my mind was simply this. If God was as good to you as you would or you are to him, what kind of day would you have? I put that on Facebook earlier. What kind of day would you have if you are as good to God as God is to you? See, when we think about the goodness of God and we sing songs this afternoon, and especially this time of the year as we enter into the Thanksgiving season, we sing songs and we celebrate the goodness of God. We sing songs like God is so good. Our praise team sings songs that magnify and bring attention to the goodness of God. I remember on many occasions we've sung the song, He's a Good, Good Father. And then we sing songs that talks about the goodness of God. If we really did believe what we sing, I believe that we would go with a praise upon our lips and a song upon our heart, that we would celebrate the goodness of our God. You see, we are a reflection of the goodness of God. We radiate that back. We basically share that throughout our day on a day-to-day basis. We see here in the scripture where, again, the psalmist, he opens this up. And he talks about this in this verse number 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I began to look this word up. It's a Hebrew word. The Old Testament is in Hebrew. The New Testament is in Greek and Aramaic. So in this, we look at this word in the Old Testament. We think about good. We think about how the Bible describes God. Good as in essence or in quality. The Bible reminds us that in Him there is no evil at all. But yet we see the word good actually is a word that means pleasant. It is a word that means beautiful or excellent, lovely, delightful. It means sound and cheerful. So there's ongoing definitions. If you go back and you look in your Strong's Concordance to the word good, it also references goodness, and you can see that in the scripture in many places. But I begin to think about the goodness of God. I'm not going to turn there and read all of these verses. There are too many for me to be able to do that this afternoon. And Kathy, you don't need to follow me on these either. And so we see here in the scripture, when we talk about the goodness of God, or the beautifulness of God, or the excellentness of God, or the loveliness of God, or the pleasantness of God, we can see that in the beginning it's described what God did. And God made everything that He made. Again, if you go to Genesis 1, you can actually go and you can read this in a variety of different places throughout Genesis 1. God would make the variety. He would make the light. He would make the morning. He would make the night. He would make the firmament. He would make the waters. And He would bring forth everything that we have today. And then we can see that all throughout that scripture, Genesis 1, and this is just a few of them if you're writing these down, it talks about God is good when God saw what He saw. It says this in verse 10, 12, 18, 25. And verse 31, when I read this, it was really interesting because of what the Bible said. And it said that when God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. When God began to talk about the goodness of God, we can see that not only in the essence in the beginning, but we can see that in the words that Jesus Himself said in John chapter number 10. Again, Jesus is a reflection of the goodness of God. And we can see that Jesus says in the Word, I am the good shepherd. I don't know about you, but when I was writing notes today and I was thinking about this early morning this morning, I was thinking about how good God has been to you and to me and to us this evening. My mind went back to not only in the beginning when God created everything and God called it good, but I thought about too that God is good in our salvation. Where would we be tonight if it had not been for the goodness of God? I thought about the prodigal son. I thought about how that prodigal son had went forth and he had wasted all of his living. He had wasted everything that he had had. But yet I believe that when that prodigal came to himself and said, I have wasted my life. I've literally spent everything I've got. And he looked at himself in the pig pen. He said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to my Father. And friend, when I thought about that, I thought about nothing more than the goodness of God. Because all of us at one time in our lives, we were in the hog pen of the world. But it was the goodness of God. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we think about what he says here in this text, I was reading through some commentary on this today and some stuff I was looking up. And this particular psalm mentions it like this. It says, this psalm is an acrostic poem. In the case that each line of the verse begins with a different Hebrew letter arranged in alphabetical order. I don't know Hebrew, so I cannot go through that and testify to that. But it says the primary purpose of this psalm is to teach moral lessons about God. It's the theme highlight that God has a constant care for His people. I believe when I thought about this, I began to think about what He says. I began to think about He says that God is good. I'm going to date myself a little bit. I remember years ago, there was a TV commercial. Everybody in this room should remember this commercial. I remember it was about Life cereal. And there was on this TV commercial, there was this little guy by the name of Mikey. And Mikey was there at that bowl of Life cereal. And these other kids must not have liked the looks of it. But they pushed that bowl of cereal in front of Mikey. Mikey had his spoon and he began to eat it. And he began to taste of it. He began to savor the flavor and everything that goes along with it. And all of those other little kids, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? All them other little kids stepped back for a second and looked at Mikey. And they said, "He likes it, he likes it." And I think about that. I know that might have been a little boring, but it touched my heart anyway. I thought about how that people don't know the goodness of God until they literally taste and see that God is good. I don't have a Costco card. Some people have got a Costco card. I've got a Sam's card. So you can go to Sam's every now and then and almost get you a full four-course dinner before you get out of that place. You can walk around and you can get little wiener dogs and buns, and you can get pieces and slices of pizza and pears and pieces of fruit and all kinds of a juice or something, and walk all over that store. You can about fill yourself up. What's the purpose of all that? The purpose is just to give you a little bitty sample, just to wet your whistle, so to speak, so that you'll go into the case over there, freezer case or refrigerated case or whatever it was, and you would buy you a carton, or you'd buy what they actually had there on advertisement, if you will. And you think about this, and you think about what this psalmist was saying, and how that it was actually saying that how that this thing that God is saying, that taste and see. It's like sampling God and tasting God, understanding or perceiving the goodness of our God. The phrase, if you will, taste and see, actually means this. It means to try and experiment. Aren't you glad for the day, the morning, the time, the evening, whenever it was that God rang your heart's bell, if you will, and all of a sudden you came and you thought to yourself, "I've tried everything else in the world. I think I'm finally going to try God and see what God has for me." And when you got a hold of God, let me change it. And God got a hold of you. My friend, you knew without shadow of a doubt that it was sweeter than a honeycomb. And my friend, God got you and God drew you in. David urges people to taste and see. Discover Him. Experience the goodness of the Lord. And it comes through personal trial, if you will. It comes through personal experience, if you will. And we think about it today, that so many people that's in a world of darkness today, and people actually say, "God ain't never done anything for me," or "I've never experienced the God that you're talking about." My friend, I'm so glad the Bible says that whosoever will, let them come. Oh, my friend, it don't make any difference what you've done, where you've been, what you done when you were there. All you got to do, and I know I'm preaching to save people tonight and preaching to the saints, but maybe somehow, some way, somebody may hear this somewhere. I don't know, but my friend, I don't want anything else to offer. The world has to offer me. I've already found the best. Amen. When you find Jesus, when you've already tasted of Him, amen, my friend, you have reached the pinnacle of your spiritual experience. Amen. I don't need a crystal. I don't need a rock. I don't need a pluralism. I don't need paganism. I don't need all the other isms that's in the world today. Just give me Jesus. Somebody say amen right there. So the Bible says in 1 John 1 and 5 about God, God being good. The Bible declares God is good. We teach our children God is good. God is light. The Bible says in 1 John 1 and 5, and in Him there is no darkness at all. When we think about darkness, we often associate darkness with evil. But in we think about this scripture, we think about His goodness. It's in the association of His holiness and His righteousness. These things are a part of who God is. It is a part of God's true nature. And He cannot contradict Himself. He cannot do anything that is unholy or anything that is unrighteous. God, my friend, is the standard, if you will, of all that is good. Everything that is good comes forth out of Him. Yet we think about this and we think about, again, humans associate taste with pleasure and satisfaction. I think about things like food that we all enjoy. I have certain foods I like better than other foods. My wife makes the best, bar none. Horace can testify to this, and others too. Bar none, the best lasagna anywhere. Better than any restaurant, better than Carrabba's, better than Olive, better than Crisp, better than any of them. If you ever want one, talk to her. Don't talk to me, I don't cook. But when you've tasted the best, y'all tell her I said that, okay? When you've tasted the best, nothing else will do. You know, people today, and I'm going to meddle for a minute. People today are trying to drown their sorrows in drugs and alcohol and sex, trying to satisfy something that's missing on the inside of them, longing to fill the void, longing to feel something that they're longing for, something to fill that vacancy that's in their heart. And you know this. I'm preaching to the choir tonight. But my friend, when you've tasted of God, my friend, you know without shadow of a doubt that you have absolutely got a hold of the best. My friend, when you think about this, Matthew Henry, one of the writers in the commentary, said it like this. He said that the goodness of God, a taste, if you will, is like being rolled under the tongue like a sweet morsel. I thought about that, and I thought about how that God is able to be tasted, if you will. He satisfies the appetite of man. He satisfies the longing of man. And my friend, we can think about this. We think about tasting, if you will. Taste must happen before seeing, if you will, and bring a spiritual enlightenment to our understanding. My mind can't help but to go back to the simple time when God got a hold of my heart. Again, I'm not going to go into the whole testimony of it, but just a young whippersnapper, if you will, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old, grew up like any other kid doing my thing as a kid. But yet we think about when you get to an adult state. When I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And I thank God for the day that I tasted. And God gave me the enlightenment. God gave me the understanding of how good God really is. My friend, when we think about that, when a person who has lived in sin all of their lives and they've lived in the heartbreak of sin comes to Him. I thought about this as I was sitting there working today, that they will find Him to be the sweet rose of Sharon, if you will. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright, the morning star. My friend, if you and I would just stop long enough to think about the goodness of God, we too would be like this psalmist David that wrote this psalm. You and I this evening, we can relate to the hog pen of the world, like I said, like the prodigal son. We can relate to where he was at. But my friend, when that prodigal son came out of that hog pen, when he came and he turned his eyes back towards the Father, and the Father done everything he did in Luke 15 without me turning there. He told his son and told those that's around him. He said, hey, go kill the fatted calf. We're getting ready to celebrate. Oh, he took his shoes. He put his robe on him. He took his ring. He celebrated because a child of God that was lost has now come home. Or his child that was lost has now come home. There was something about that father that young man longed for. I began to think about that earlier today, and I thought about how there's something on the inside of every person that is here. It's not religion. Religion will always fail you. Religion will always leave you in want, if you will. But I believe if a person comes out of the hog pen of the world in true repentance and they taste the Lord God, if you will, and His goodness, not religion. Religion's going to fail you. Religion's going to let you down. Denomination is going to let you down. Preachers are going to let you down. People are going to let you down. Sunday school teachers are going to let you down. Church will let you down. Oh, my friend, I know somebody now. All they can talk about is how the church, when they were a young person, this person's in their 80s now, but how that the church let them down, how that people let them down, how that people failed them. Can I tell you, as I try to wrap this up here in a few minutes, it is time that you and I, we get our eyes off of people and the church and everything else around us. We put our eyes back on Him. Has He let down anybody in the room? I'm doing a survey. He's not let us down. God is faithful. God is true. And I can attest to this. In my life, there's been heartache. There's been times of tears. There have been times of sorrow. There have been times I didn't know what to do. There have been times that I prayed and times that I've got on my knees and times that I felt like I was going to break and everything within me was going to fall apart. I would say, God, I need you worse now than I've ever needed you in all of my life. And somehow, some way, God would bring a breakthrough. Amen. I told the men this just a few weeks ago when we had our men's meeting. We talk about miracles. We talk about God doing things and God making a way. About a month and a half ago, I was dealing with something that really needed to be done. And I was already told it's not going to happen. There's no way this is going to happen. There was like three doors that got shut all of a sudden. Not going to happen. No way it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I was there, and I was down there at my little building. That's my prayer room and my thinking room. And I go down there, and I meditate a whole lot, and I work, and I do things. And me and God have a lot of conversations. So I was there, and I was saying, God, I was on the front porch, and I was saying, God, of the building. I said, God, you said, we sing Waymaker. We sing Waymaker at the church. And God, you said in your word, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I said, God, I don't know how this is going to work out, but God, you got to work this out. I don't know. I can't do nothing about it. And Lord, I'm just trusting you that you are the way maker. And do you know within one hour of me being down there on that deck, down there on that porch, Brother Wes, of saying, God, you are the way maker. I can't do this. And God worked out what I needed worked out within one hour. Pam, you know what it is. Within 1 hour, God worked it out. So don't say that God's not good. It came a little bit too late to tell me that God is not good. You say, does God take away all of our battles? He didn't take away Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's battles. He didn't take away Daniel's battles. He didn't take away anybody else's battles, David's battles. David had to fight the giant. But God was with him while he fought the giant. And he became a living witness and a testimony of the goodness of God. Your storm, sometimes my storm, sometimes is not necessarily for me, but it's for others to see what God has done when he's brought you through to the other side. Amen? God is good. I could go all the way throughout the scripture and talk about this evening. So when we talk about God is good, oh, taste and see. Taste. Give God a try. Give God a try. Just give God an opportunity. And I know again that we have preached this evening to mature saints. I understand that. But I'm going to be really, really honest with you. Because I was sitting there as I was working through this. And I'm not saying this is for anybody but Alan. I don't know. But I was thinking to myself about this. If God treated you the way you treat him, what kind of day would you have? Wow. Did you hear that? If God treated you the way you treat him, what kind of day would you have? How do we treat God? Somebody said, well, I'd have a pretty good day. I believe even at my absolute best, I still sometimes fall flat on my face. But you know what? I heard a pastor say one time, pastor friend of mine that mentored me part of Sherry and I years ago. He said, I need to put you on notice. He said, somewhere along life, I'll fail you. I'll let you down. He said, because I'm just flesh. He said, but if I do, he said, understand that it's a failure of my mind and not my heart, because my heart's after God. And I think that's all of us could fit into that category, because our heart is after God and God's goodness. Now, when we open this psalm, and I'm not going to be much longer, you're going to get out early tonight. When we open this psalm, what does he say? I believe when this psalm was written, and this was just my take on it. When this psalm was written in verse number 1, we go back to Psalm 34 and 1. David ends that down there in that latter verse and said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So David, as a reflection of the goodness of God, David was able to write verse 1. As a reflection that David wrote in verse number 8 there, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, David was able to write verse number 1. And this was David's decision on the goodness of God. Somebody says, well, I'll praise God when I feel like it. No. The Bible already tells you to let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Not only that, but the Bible says in Psalm 113, you don't need to turn there, but he says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, that the name of the Lord is to be praised. So in this, David says, I will. When David wrote that, it was a determining factor of David's heart and David's mind that I'm going to praise God. Hey, do this with me tomorrow. Think of things all throughout the day that you can see the goodness of God in. Think about not only God getting you out of the bed in the morning. Sherry and I plan on being on the road tomorrow. I'm praying for traveling mercy and traveling grace. You never know what's going to happen out on a crazy road. You know what I'm saying? So we think about the goodness of God, how that God protects us, how that God keeps our bodies, how that God provides. I mentioned that on Sunday. But he says, as a result of the goodness of God, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. So again, commentary, when is there a time that we're not supposed to praise God? Never. Anybody ever woke up out of a deep sleep in the middle of the night and you couldn't do nothing but just praise God? You just had your mind on the Lord? I have. Amen. I've done that. Just thinking about the goodness of God. David, again, this is a reflection of David's heart. David says all the times there is to praise the Lord, he says at all times, he said, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know, I came up with something years ago and I said, if people grumble enough or fuss enough or gripe enough, they'll find enough to gripe about. If people grumble enough, they'll find enough to grumble about. And you know, if you go through your life just grumbling, if you go through life just in this zone of negativism, some people live in the negative. Sometimes I get pulled into that. Sometimes I feel I'm being drawn into that. But for the most part, I'm a pretty positive guy. I don't like living in the negative. You say, well, it takes a negative and a positive for a battery to work. Well, I'm going to try my best to stay on the positive side of it. Amen. I know it takes the north and the south, and I'm not a physical persons, and not a physician. What is it? A physicist. There you go. And it talks about the north and the north polar and south polar of a magnet, but it takes both in order for that thing to work the way it's supposed to. So I guess every now and then, if somebody chooses to be a little negative, I guess it's just sort of part of life. You know what I mean? But I don't want to be a part of it. But anyway, it says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Look in verse number 2. I'm going to go real quick through these. He says that my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. I wonder why he wrote that. Because David had experienced the goodness of God. And he didn't have anything but God to brag about. Just to brag on God. He said, I will make my boast. I will make my brag in the Lord. Amen. Some folks, and I hate to just get back on this again. Some people, I'm telling you, it don't take but 2 or 3 minutes to be around them, and you can tell they have not been in God's presence. Because they go from this position to the grumbling position in about 3 seconds. Always living in the dark, always living in the negative, always living with a ho-hum, always living in the woe is me. We need to turn that around. David said in the Word, my soul, my inner man, the inner part of who I am, I'm just going to brag on God. Even Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. David had a unique way of trusting God. And David said, yes, I've been young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just saying, no matter what you're going through, continue to brag on Jesus. Amen. Continue to make your boast in the Lord. Hey, look at your neighbor and say, it's going to work out. I believe that. Amen? I believe that. It's all going to work out. Hello? You say, what do you know that I don't know? I know him. And I know he's a good father. And I know the Bible said in that 1 John verse a while ago that in God there's no darkness at all. Amen. So in verse 2, he says, I'll make my boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Again, I'm not going to try to talk about every one of these, but the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Amen. Verse number 3, look at this. Look at this unified effort, this pulling together what David was saying. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come together. Let's do it together. Let's brag on God together. Let's do this together. And he says, let's exalt, lift up his name together. Let's do it together. You know, if we've all tasted of God and we've experienced God, it should never be a drudgery to praise Him. Should never be a drudgery to praise Him. Well, I don't like that song. Well, praise Him with your song. Praise Him because of who He is. I don't like the sound of that. Praise Him for who He is. Not the song, but praise Him because you think about Him, the goodness of God. Amen? Think about the goodness of God. David said in this text, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Again, the writer there in the scripture says how good it is, how beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Hey, we sound better together, don't we? Amen. We work better together. And David again was saying, don't let me just experience this by myself. He says that in verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Don't let me just experience this by myself. And then he says in verse 4, I sought the Lord. I turned to God. I turned all my pain. I turned all my sorrow. I turned all my disappointments. I turned everything that I've ever done that's let me down. I turned it to God. And in this, the Bible says, again, again, if you look at this, and he says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. Ain't that awesome? That God will hear. And the Bible says that his ears are ever open to the cry of his children. I turned to the Lord and he told me to go home. No. I turned to the Lord and I got a busy signal. No. I turned to the Lord and he said, come back in 30 minutes. No. I turned to the Lord and he heard me. Over and over, the Bible reminds us that his ears are ever open to the prayers of the saints. That's good, ain't it? Somebody used to talk about the song that was an older song. I don't know the song, but I've heard the song. But it talks about that royal telephone. Hello? It's not too busy. It's never busy. Amen? We can turn to God anytime. Amen. I sought the Lord. I sought God out. I sought him. I looked for him. As I found him, the Bible said, and he heard me. Look at this. And delivered me. We sing the song in the hymn book, he set me free. That verse ought to be enough for anybody that's hearing me this evening to reflect upon the goodness of God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How long has it been since we reflected upon the goodness of God? You say, preacher, I've got this wrong with me, and I've got this wrong with me, and I don't even hardly have no gas in my car. I don't hardly have no food at the house. It don't make no difference about all that. You've got what you need right now, this moment. He's a right now God. Amen. God knows what you have need of. What God wants you to do is praise him right now for who he is. And as you praise him for right now, he heard me and he delivered me out of all of my fear. Fear. I heard this about, I don't know, maybe 6 or 8 months ago. If you take the word fear and you break it down and you do a acrostic or an acronym, it's faith, evidence, false evidence appearing real. Remember that. And we think about fear, and we think about how that fear tries to grip our hearts. Let me wrap this up in the next few verses. Because we can look at the scripture again, and he began to talk about this. Stay with me as I go through these. And we look in verse number 5. They looked unto him and were lightened. They were able to see, and their faces were not ashamed. People understand God when they look to him. I'm not going to take the time to break all these down. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and he saved him out of all of his troubles. Somebody ought to shout right there. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivered them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Now, we're going to look at verse 9 through 22 and call it a day. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Are you with me? Come unto the children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? In other words, God's going to be with you when you're young. God's going to be with you through your life. And God's going to see you all the many days that you live. Verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. Depart from evil and do good. Somebody says, I'm not good. If you're not good, you need to get saved, because goodness is the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. You do good. Now, I know there's an argument about that. There, I think it was one of the psalmists or Paul that said that in man there's no good at all. Without God, there is not. We're all corrupt. But with God, God changes our hearts. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, and cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Look in verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. Hallelujah. And the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and to save such of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all of his bones, not one of them is broken. That's a prophecy about Jesus there, according to commentary. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trusteth in him shall be desolate. Now this psalm here again is a psalm that was written that when David got delivered from Saul. But yet not only David got delivered from Saul, but David was able to be delivered from Goliath. And God is able to deliver you and me out of all of our fears. Trust Him. Every day, you and I are put to a test. Every day. And by the reason I say that is every day we're put to a test is whether or not we're going to trust God. Trust Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Maybe it starts off with just a sample. But if you ever get that sweet taste, if you will, as Matthew Henry commentary said, under the palate of your tongue, if you will, you're sure to come back for more. Amen. Let's stand together. I told you I was going to let you out early. It's a miracle. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. And Father, we thank you for this word. And Lord, I've got out of this word exactly what I needed. It's to keep my attention focused on you. To keep my focus on the things of God and not the things of the world. That God, there's nothing in this world will satisfy us. Nothing. But it's all about you. Lord, we love you and honor and praise you, and we thank you for all of your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, I give you all the praise for that you're doing. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. If you want to see Kay,